you pull out your floss hair, it goes and then you floss your head. Do you want to join me, Matt?
Sure.
So and you know what, when you sit there in front of the mirror, whichever time you get over in the morning, and you're doing your flossing your head and going things start shifting, they really do,
right?
And it's just a practice.
Welcome to the Dementia Research Project, where I, Matt DeRay, explore the history, innovation and champions in and around the world of dementia. Lottie Mickelson is a laughter yoga master trainer and a keynote speaker renowned for her expertise in helping leaders, executives and entrepreneurs maximize their potential. She's the founder of United Mind and has over 20 years of experience offering bespoke laughter yoga workshops for individuals and teams across the UK.
For the audience who may not know who you are, would you mind sharing a bit about your background and what you're doing?
Yes, of course. Thank you for asking the question, Matt, and thank you for having me here. So I'm Lottie, and I'm in the UK, but I'm originally from Denmark. What I've been doing for the past 22 years is running my own business, which is a business of laughter yoga.
Fantastic.
My background, though, is completely different. I have a background in technology, in corporate business and so on. But when I discovered laughter yoga in 2000, I just thought, wow, this is what I'm meant to do. So I've been doing it almost ever since, almost.
Oh, take me down memory lane, Lottie, in that period in 2000. Like, where were you when you first came across laughter yoga?
So, well, it was quite an epic event, actually. And it was a friend of mine who traveled to India to train in laughter yoga back in 1999. And he started the laughter club in Copenhagen, but I never went because I just didn't have time for it. In right. Hindsight, you know, hindsight is a great thing, isn't it?
Right.
But when he invited to World Laughter Day in 2000, that was the first Sunday in January 2000 back then. And he said, come, it's just an open event and everybody could join and so on. And I thought, Sunday afternoon, I can do this. And when I arrived in the center of Copenhagen, there were almost 10,000 people there. And it was called the Happydemic because it was the first of its sort of event where so many people had gathered. And I just thought, wow, this is amazing. I want to do this. I want to share this way of being and the joy and so on. So 2000, I organized a theater event for young people in the part of Copenhagen where I lived. And I brought on my friend to run a laughter session there as well. And I was still, I want to do this, not just be part of a session, but I want to do this. But, you know, life changes and life happens. Right. So I moved to the UK in 2001 and still thinking, I want to do something with laughter, but there wasn't any training around. So I liaised with my friend in Denmark and he connected me with the founder of Laughter Yoga International in India, Madan Kataria. And I got some mentoring and training going there and eventually started. So when I started my business, I started with all sorts of holistic therapies like reflexology and Reiki and crystal healing and so on. And then laughed on the side because I wasn't fully trained at the time. But when I sort of thought, oh, do you know what? Anyone can laugh. And it's a method where you have like a structure to it. I can do this. So I started doing it towards the back end of 2002.
Fantastic. Our first conversation, I think I mentioned to you that laughter yoga was nowhere on my radar until I did a bit of research, right? Could you tell me, like, why is it called laughter yoga? What is the yoga component to this?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. What is the yoga and laughter yoga? Because I'll tell you what, I'm not trained in yoga, but I am. Right. Since then, of course, I am fully trained in laughter yoga. And a lot more than that. And the reason it's called laughter yoga is not just because we're doing poses. We don't do yoga poses, but we combine playful laughter with deep breathing techniques. So you would maybe take a deep breath in and then you would breathe it out or you would laugh it out even, because one of the key things about laughter is it's such a great exhalation. And the breath in yoga, your out breath is longer than your in breath. So when you're laughing, you're actually digging really deep into the bottom of your lungs and getting rid of all air. And that's what you do in the yoga breathing as well. So the combination is great. Breathing in and maybe breathing it out like a breath, or maybe laughing it out, even if it's just a willing, gentle chuckle, like ha 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 ha. Anyone can say it. And it's not always that you're in a good mood or so, but we can all say ha 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 ha. And with that sound comes the out breath, but also the lifted corners of your lips. So that movement connects in with the pleasure centers in the brain. So there's a whole range of things that happen, of course, but the breath is the main part of why it's called laughter yoga. It's also the original meaning of the word yoga is unity. And when you think about unity and laughter yoga connects you with yourself, but it also connects you with everybody else. And that's what's so beautiful about it. That was really serious.
I have to admit, like when I first heard about it, I thought it was yoga conducted by a comedian or something along those lines, right? So it's really nice to see the level of access, right? I've seen YouTube videos where from all ages, anybody can do it, right? You don't have to be super flexible or anything.
Absolutely not. You know, it's one of these things anyone can take part, because everybody can laugh. And with some exercise forms and so on, often people say, oh no, I can't do that because I'm not, my level of physical wellness is maybe not that great, or I'm not that bendy or flexible and so on. But anybody can laugh, even if you're not in the mood, like I said. We can all say ha 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 ha. And the more we do it, the more natural it becomes, and the more we do it together, the more laughter just flows into all areas of life.
They say laughter is the best medicine. Like what are some of the medical benefits, or scientifically, endorsed benefits of this therapy?
Do you know, the benefits of laughter yoga, they are just so many. And for myself, I can say for my health and well-being, it's really made a huge difference. Since being diagnosed with MS in 2008, it's helped me recover from any episodes or anything that I didn't really want up close in my life. You know, the relapses you experience in MS often triggered when you're overly stressed. And laughter is one of the methods that really helps reduce stress. And I know that there are lots of other methods you can use for reducing stress, but a lot of them are also serious. And I feel that we're, as adults, we're becoming more and more serious, and it's kind of taking the power out of us. So if we can add something where we're lowering stress, which is shown, it was shown in 1979 by Dr. Lee Burke at Loma Linda University, that when you're laughing and introducing more endorphins, the happy chemical, then you're also counterbalancing and reducing stress chemicals like cortisol. So when you reduce stress, the medical factors that your body functions better, your immune system works better, and you're more able to fight illness. So there's a lot of medical and scientific research behind it, not just laughter yoga, but laughter in general. So when you're producing this, it's actually not just endorphins, but a cocktail of joy chemicals. Serotonin, our natural antidepressant, oxytocin, our love hormone, which you get lots of when you're hugging or women breastfeeding or so. And then, of course, dopamine, which is what helps us strive and achieve. So it's our motivation factor, isn't it? So this whole cocktail happens when we're laughing. And apart from all the chemical release, your body is given a really good workout. When you're laughing, using your body instead of your social laughter up here. When you're getting into your body, you're using the diaphragm. So when you're using your body to laugh and you're using the diaphragm for the breathing and the abdomen for the laughter out, you're connecting in with your parasympathetic part of your central nervous system. And in fact, triggering the vagus nerve, which is about relaxation. So you get a full whammy of all these benefits. And it's just from getting the laughter in your belly. But again, a lot of people find it maybe a little bit of a challenge to do that because we're so used to doing our our polite, socially accepted laughter that we forget how beneficial, how great it is to have a good belly laugh. Because if you think about it, when did you last have your really good belly laugh?
Oh man, it feels like too long ago. Unfortunately, I need to be around. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. And I remember once, this is a few years ago, I was running a training course, and people who come on training courses because they want to share laughter, maybe, but it may also be because they want more laughter for themselves and in their own lives and so on. But whatever reason people come is the right reason. So asking the question around in the group, when was the last time you had the best belly laugh or a really big belly laugh? And someone said, this was in January, this course, yeah? And someone said, oh, I remember I had a really good belly laugh in July last year. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? It's like right. 6 months ago.
Right.
We should hopefully have it more than once a week. And if we don't have it, then we'll help ourselves with having a practice of laughter yoga, because it really does help us go through life's ups and downs in a different way. Because another one of the benefits that happen when we're laughing is when you commit to laughing every day, you start rewiring your brain and create new neural pathways. And this ties in with neuroplasticity, which is our brain's ability to rewire and find new pathways and find new ways of looking at things. So we do that and we start removing old patterns of, oh, I shouldn't do that. And, oh, I'm a bit over the top and so on. We remove all that and we make it okay very deeply.
It sounds like really, really important critical work you're doing, Lottie, because I think subconsciously people know laughter is the best medicine, right? But I think it's not front and center. And you're right, people take things a little bit too seriously, right? I'm speaking for myself. but sometimes, like, it takes a conversation, a course in what you do to take, like, this very basic human act to the forefront.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. And I really agree with you that laughter is the best medicine. Now, the thing about us as adults is that's when we become serious, isn't it? Because children are born with a unreasonable amount of laughter and ability to laugh for no reason whatsoever. They laugh because they play. So when they play, laughter follows. But when we grow up, we forget to play. And so laughter doesn't follow. So we have to relearn to laugh so we can become more playful. And, you know, it's that circle and cycle that just continues and we forget it. And I do think that one of the things that people sometimes hear when they're growing up is you have to be seen to be serious to achieve and to be taken serious at work and in business. And the fact is that people who have fun get more done. And it's a very, very good quote to remember. And we forget that having a little bit of that fun perspective and that element of joy in what we're doing, that was why we chose the job in the first place, wasn't it? Because we really wanted to do that kind of work, whatever that may be, yeah? And we just lose track of it because seriousness just comes in and takes over our lives with all these serious commitments and serious job and serious relationships and everything we label as serious, where in fact they're just part of our lives and should be an enjoyment and a joy every day.
So you do a lot of corporate trainings and workshops with some of the biggest brands out there, right? When they come and reach out to you, what is their ask of you, Lottie? Like, what do they want to make their employees just more joyous? What? Do you mind sharing?
Yeah. So corporate businesses, workplaces in general, come because they want to bring something, the element of wellness to their staff, because it's really high on the agenda for how we continue on with being successful businesses and corporate workplaces and so on. And a thing that's really been on the rise for many, many years, started way before COVID, but COVID, of course, hit all the notes in terms of mental health and how mental health also impacts physical health. So it's, again, you can't exclude one because the other one is present. We all have mental health, we all have physical health. And so mental health became one of these things that really affected people. So when workplaces come to me, they are talk about, well, the wellness of their staff, but also having a twist on it where it's about improving mental health. And mental health is not just improving when you're with your colleagues. It's about making sure that we have some tools and some things in our bags that we can use when we're outside of work. Because sometimes for some people, work is where you have your whole community of people, of friends. And when you go home, you may be by yourself. So it's about building that resourcefulness and resilience. And laughter is just such a great tool for it. So it's also they come to me regarding stress management or team building is a really big thing. Team bonding, connecting, right, and finding out how to work better together.
In terms of keeping the practice front and center, right, top of mind, do you these engagements and classes, corporate and private individuals and whatnot, this is, I imagine, it's akin to any other class, right? Over a long period of time. And you mentioned that whole rewiring of the brain. It doesn't happen over like a weekend workshop, right? So how do you get that long-term mindedness into folks you coach?
It's a good question, you know, how to actually maintain a practice of daily laughter and so on, because it is so easy when you've been on a two-day course and you're all psyched up and wow, excited about it, but then life happens and Monday happens and Tuesday and Wednesday and you forget it because you get all embroiled into daily work and daily life and so on. So in 2008, when I had that diagnosis, I set up the Telephone Laughter Club here in the UK. And the reason was to have a structure for myself, because I know that at the time I wasn't laughing every day. It sounds horrible. But I wasn't having a daily laughter yoga practice. But I wanted to, but I also knew that looking back over when I'd done things like New Year resolutions and so on, they didn't last forever. So I needed a structure for myself to do it every day. And with the Telephone Laughter Club, we start out laughing every day of the week at 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 past seven. So it's just 10 minutes and it's enough to give you that boost where you feel, yes, I'm ready. And you are ready to tackle any stressful situation or anything you may come across that's not necessarily how you'd like it to be. So we started out laughing every day, but you know, few people showed up on weekends, even though it was later, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. So in the end we decided, okay, let's just laugh Monday to Friday, and we still do it. Weekends we don't laugh.
right.
But no. Again, having the daily laughter practice, because you are giving yourself that knock-on effect of the embedding of the joy cocktail that releases, and your physical health gets a boost and so on. And you feel really good after a good laugh.
Could you share like any memorable case studies or of people who've come to you and said, Lottie, this has changed my life for the better. And maybe they were in a tough spot in their life or with their job, a relationship. I'm sure you have many, many of these type of stories, but you mind just sharing just one, just for an idea of how this therapy actually enhances life?
Yeah, quality. There are so many stories and, you know, where to start. I actually recently remembered a situation. Now, this is not the one I want to share really, but it is funny though, because I was up in Manchester. Manchester is about 3.5-4 hours drive from me. And I was up in Manchester just mooching about, as you do when you have lots of time. And I was walking through this shopping center in Manchester, and across the place, and it was a really big place, someone shouted, "Lotte!" And I was looking around, I thought, who is this? I don't really know that many people up in Manchester. And she continued, Lottie, hi. I was like, hi. And then she shouted, "You changed my life." And I was like, oh, that's so nice. And then she walked off with her friend. I was like, but who are you? But it was one of these moments where, oh, that was really nice. Because sometimes, on many occasions, you never hear back. If it's people who trained with me, I am in contact with them. But for corporate workshops and those kind of events where I come in and do a one-off session, I don't often hear back. I did have one, this is some years ago as well. I worked with an organization who was going through changes and going through redundancies, and it wasn't very nice there. At the time, so they invited me in to run a laughter workshop, and it went really well. And 5 years later, I think 4 or 5 years later, they contacted me again and said, "Oh, do you know, we'd like you to come in again because we are experiencing similar changes." So it's not very nice. So when I came in, and they said, "Come in early so you'll have breakfast and coffee with us," and so on. I said, "Okay." So coming into their space. And this lady walked up to me like, "It's so good to see you." I was like, "It's good to see you too." And digging into my memory, who is this person? But of course, I knew she must have been.
Right.
So this lady was what? Maybe early 40s or so. And she looked at me and she started laughing and she said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And we laughed a little bit about that because it was true, yeah. But the thing about it was, when she started talking about her experience the first time, she said she absolutely didn't like the exercises. But at the end of a session, if at all possible, we lay down on the floor, and this is where people tap into their true laughter. And this lady was saying, when we did that and she lay there and thinking, "Oh, this is not fun," suddenly she just felt this fountain of laughter bubbling out of her. And she said she really, really got it. And I was like, "Oh, that's so touching." And she said she really changed her life around. And I did remember her because she was messing about in the laughter exercise and just talking and muttering and being disruptive. Not too much, but a little bit. But I did remember her. But I said to her, "But you don't look like the woman I remember." And she said, "No, I don't, do I?" Mm-hmm. So I thought she was like maybe late 50s or so. Completely different person. And it just really goes to show how your thoughts and your attitudes towards life and your work and everything really affects your physical appearance. Because this woman was early 40s. So it just goes to show how you can change not just your attitude, but your physical health and well-being.
I think one of the key takeaways I'm getting is that it really is a muscle.
It is.
And like any muscle, it's something that needs to be exercised.
Laughter is really a muscle. It's one of these things, if you don't practice it, you forget. And it really shows when you look around and people are not smiling and so people are not wearing a smile. We're actually just wearing a smile is so healthy for us. Mm-hmm. That muscle movement really not only connects with that cocktail I keep talking about, but it also connects with our thymus gland, which is where we have the production of lymphocytes, which is our immune system cells, so important to maintaining great health. So when you do this, it connects in there. You can also thump your chest, yeah? But that hurts after a while.
Right.
But it also stimulates that production. But it's so, so important because when we're grumpy and so on, and when we're stressed, we're reducing that production. And that means that we're more prone to catching all sorts of viruses and colds and even worse things and viruses and colds and flus. And we can do so much for ourselves. We are like a chemical factory, aren't we?
You mentioned you grew up in Denmark, then spent a bit of time in India finding about this practice. Now your business is based in the UK. How do you think about laughter as it relates to different cultures? Right? Because I think one of the things I've always noticed, the Scandinavian countries are always like the top ranked in terms of quality of life. So I'm wondering if there's something special in that special sauce in something in the water that makes people just have that joie de vivre.
The Scandinavian countries have been on the top of the list of happy nations for many, many years. And Denmark has only recently been kicked from number one to number two or three or so. But you're absolutely right. They are. There's a really high quality of life and living in Scandinavia. I know that the happy index or happiness index is based on a lot of different factors outside ourselves. Yeah. So it's to do with things like what is the likelihood of an earthquake happening, things like that. And what is the economy and those kind of things impact the bigger things. Mm. But I do think we have a way of being with each other in friendship and family and so on. But it's not always rolling into every part of life. So I think we can always, always be better at what we're doing and who we're being in particular. And, you know, it doesn't mean I love Denmark. It's my country. Yeah. But they're also, you know, in all places, there's a bit of judgment around laughter yoga because it's almost pretending to, well, it is pretending to laugh at first. And everybody wants it to be real. Yeah. The UK, amazing place to laugh because people are very likely to just do what you ask them to do. I don't mean it in the way it may sound, but
right.
They are really just trusting that you know what you're doing. So they go for it. And it actually caters for some amazing laughter sessions and laughter training courses and events because people are so willing to give it a go. I think that's where there's maybe a slight different notion of how to laugh and so on, because in Denmark, which is my other point of reference, people just want it all to be real. We all do. I know we all do, but there's just a slight difference there. The other thing is with India, I think in India, it's so popular because this is where it came from. Dr. Madan Kataria founded the laughter yoga movement in 1995, and it just grew and grew and grew, and there are laughter clubs in India in parks and on street corners, on the beaches, everywhere you can laugh.
One thing I really admire about the work you're doing is there's an important practice which is part of human nature, which you've turned into a business, and you're promoting something that really is very much needed, I feel. We talked about its application in different fields of care, right? You mentioned MS. I think you mentioned also in dementia care, right? Yeah, having applicability. One of the reasons I started this podcast, Lottie, is because I do think these type of alternative therapies are really, really important because the healthcare system is really geared into pharmacological forms of treatment. Right. And I think we at some level there's a lot of natural activities, natural therapeutics, which has a role to play.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that, because pharmacological, the medical side of things, it doesn't always work, and it have side effects, and sometimes it feels like it's just covering up the symptoms instead of healing from the bottom of it. And that's where the natural ways, I feel, it's not necessarily always replacing medicine, but a combination could really work well. And with laughter, I think we have something that's so ingrained in us and we just forget it. And it's bearing in mind also, you mentioned humor, that laughter yoga is not about tapping into our sense of humor, because we all have different, and this is very, very different culture. Right. How we find things funny. So having a way of tapping into our laughter, even if it's not funny, is such a gift. And with dementia. Some of the last things from memory that disappears, laughter and is singing and those kind of auditorial experiences that people have had. So when we're laughing together, we're just tapping into some memories that are some beautiful memories of things that may otherwise be forgotten.
Right. And thank you so much, Lottie. You've been so generous with the time. I think actually I got two last questions, right? Second last one is, what's the future hold for laughter yoga and for you? What are you excited about?
I'm excited about laughter, full stop. Okay. But for, you know, the future, I definitely... So COVID was not fun for a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses, a lot of big businesses as well, and individuals. Coming out of COVID, there's a real need for something that people can rely on for themselves. But it's almost like because this is by no means any religion, and that's what I love about it. It's non-religious, non-political, non-racial, it's all inclusive. And so it's something everybody can do. And I really feel that the interest in laughter yoga for improving health and well-being, whether it's personal or for your team or your workplace or so, it's something that's on everybody's lips, literally. I really hope to not just grow my own business, but help other people grow their business. If they're up to something with laughter, I'm here with them. Yeah, definitely. Right.
And how can
the UK, but the wider scale in the world, because we are talking about world peace through laughter. It may be that people find, that's so immature, or that's like too big or so, but it's not, because when we're laughing, when we're really laughing, like deep in our body, we cannot hold these thoughts of hate or anger or disagreement. We cannot have it. There's only peace there in that sense when we're laughing together. And I think that's a lovely sentiment.
How can people reach out to you, Lottie?
I'm everywhere, I feel. But my business is called United Mind, but I also have laughteryoga.co.uk, which may be a lot easier to find, laughteryoga.co.uk. And email or phone me, or, you know, I'm on all these different social media places with United Mind and Laughter Yoga. So
we'll put in the links in the podcast description.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to end with, I don't know if there's like a short laughter exercise we could do just to end it. So leave on a happy note.
Let's do it then. Okay. One of my favorite exercises that I sometimes start with, because people come with all sorts of ideas of what laughter is and why we laugh and why we don't laugh and so on. So often I ask people to clear their minds. And the way we clear our minds is with mental floss. We all know how to clean our teeth, maybe floss our teeth, yeah? But this is one thing we should do every day we get out of bed and get ready for the day, because we are doing all the other cleaning. So we may as well clear out our minds with mental floss. It goes like this. You pull out your floss, yeah? It goes, and then you floss your head. Do you want to join me, Matt?
Sure.
So
oh man.
And you know what, when you sit there in front of the mirror, whichever time you get up in the morning, and you're doing your flossing your head and going things start shifting, they really do,
right?
And it's just a practice.
I feel lighter already. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.